Today's show is powered by Zbuni. The Zbuni app gives businesses free tools to start and grow online. They accept payments, build an e-store, and create mobile invoices in minutes. While the interview is brought to you by Zbuni, the guests and stories told are their own. Good afternoon. Welcome to a new episode of Dubai Works Business Podcast. This week, I'm joined by two very special guests, the founders of The Botanist Dubai. We have Ruby Giroux and Simona Sotiroska, who met here recently last year, and they're going to tell us a fascinating story about how they met and the company I had started before then as well. The Botanist is a plant-based, toxin-free, and eco-friendly home cleaning product. They aim to be sustainable through their packaging and their ingredients. This eco-friendly company launched in 2019, and it's growing into retail stores throughout the UAE. On the show today, we're going to talk about the origins of the company, talk in general about the plant-based trend that we're seeing at the moment, and also what it's like to grow a business in the current climate. Welcome both.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming in. We're usually one guest and we're usually separated, but we're wearing our masks. Yeah. The people on the podcast won't see it, but it's still nice to meet in person.
Absolutely.
So thanks for coming in.
No worries. And we're smiling under here. We're very excited to be here.
Great. So can you tell us a bit about how the business started?
Yes, actually it started maybe a bit because I didn't found it what I wanted on the market. I was doing a lot of sports. I was taking nutrition classes. And I just realized actually that the part that was missing the most was the healthy house. I was putting like way too much chemical in my house, and back in France I was using like the black soap and natural soap to clean my house. So I just wonder why I didn't bring this habit here in Dubai when I move in. So I tried to find that kind of product here and I didn't find anything similar, so I start cooking my own soap.
You make your own soap at home?
Yes. Okay.
People might make cakes and buns, but you make soap, okay.
Yeah.
Do you need a garden or a kitchen for that?
At first it was very small because it was just for me. So
yeah
it was in my kitchen, obviously. Okay. And at some point, I just started to please myself. Like I was like, okay, how can I package this product to make it more fun to use, even if it was just for me? And then my friends start to ask to have some, and they start to test the product until we find a version that everybody agreed that it was good enough to be sold on the market. So,
and what's your background, Ruby? Did you come from a product creation background or that type of line?
I'm coming from the fashion industry.
Okay. Okay.
I work in production for some big fashion house in France.
Okay.
Before I come to Dubai.
Amazing. So similar in terms of branding, design, creating products that people can have an experience with and can enjoy.
Yes.
And why is the focus on, we hear sometimes of people wanting better food products to eat and live healthier, and then also people maybe creating different types of home products maybe for their children or things like that. Why about cleanliness and why about cleaning things like soap? Where did that come from?
But actually, back in France, like all the Mediterranean country, they are kind of used to the Castile soap or Marseille soap, regarding which country you are from. And it's a very old way to clean our house, and it's all without chemicals. But now most of the brand use like fragrances, but I decided to play the game with essential oil, even if it was more costly, just because I wanted a real plant-based, a real natural product without any chemical toxin or synthetic compound. So I really,
okay.
I really go back to the origin.
Okay, amazing. So basically that was your first product. And is that what you launched with in 2019, the soap?
Yes, actually, I start with a small range of multi-purpose kitchen cleanser, bathroom cleanser, and I play with the different smell of the product depending on the room that you want to clean.
Wow.
To create a better experience with the product.
Yeah.
Like, you don't necessarily want your kitchen to smell lavender, but you don't want your bedroom to smell like thyme and lemon as well.
Okay.
So, I play a lot with the aroma of the soap to make it more like a spa experience at home.
Amazing. And Simona, where did you first come across the botanist, and how did you discover it?
So I started using the products towards, I guess, the first half of last year, somewhere around there, when we met through just fitness and mutual acquaintances. And I remember my husband Tom actually brought the products home because he was helping Ruby out with some digital marketing stuff through his agency. And he brought this thing home, and it was 6 products in this beautiful wooden box.
Wow.
And he was like, it's a cleaning product. And I was like, how, what? This is beautiful. It was in these beautiful glass amber bottles. Smelled amazing. And generally in my everyday life, I try to be, try to live healthy. I eat healthy most of the time, exercise. So I live a, healthy, active lifestyle. And I'm attracted to that kind of product in the first place. So I'd never seen anything like it in that category.
Mm.
And so we used it for a few months, and I just really fell in love with the products. We both did. So it really made me, first of all, what's inside the bottle is just all natural. There's nothing bad. It was such a pleasure to clean, knowing that you're not putting chemicals on your surfaces in your house.
Mm.
It looked amazing. Don't have to hide it under the sink. We kept it atop on our kitchen tops. And we just fell in love with it. And it really made the art of cleaning just a bit more pleasurable.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that was a very like functional thing. And I found myself enjoying it more, just taking more pleasure in it. So we used it for a few months, and obviously, doing a bit of work with Tom and just getting to know Ruby, we found that she was, doing this on her own, doing a great job. The product was fantastic, but wanted, a partner to do it with. And and so one thing led to another, and we decided to partner and to do it together.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love that example of not wanting to hide the cleaning products.
Yeah,
that you're proud
of
them.
Yeah, we should have put one right here, actually.
Yeah. I think people watching the video will see the kind of B-roll, but your website's amazing. The products look really good. Is it premium? Is it something like designer soap and products, or is it more that you're trying to make it accessible as well?
I think it's a happy middle between both, because as it is all natural product with essential oil, and we try to keep the price as low as possible to make it really accessible, because I think it's something that every house should have, because it's so much better, like, for your health, for the environment, for everything, that I didn't want it to put the price too high. But at the same time, because of the ingredient, it's a bit complicated. We don't,
Okay, so if I'm thinking of purchasing everyday goods and items, I might do it in my grocery store on an app. Is that where you see the botanist products, or is it more about people who are buying fragrances and candles and different types of products for the home at different stages? So where do you see this in the customer purchasing cycle?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So, functionally, the botanist and the cleaning products, they clean, right? They are cleaning products, and there's nothing taken away from the efficacy of what they do. We do, however, see the brand as more of a home care brand, and not just an ally in hygiene and cleaning, but really an ally in wellness and living healthy. So ally in living healthy personally. So we help you eliminate touch points from certain areas in your house, as you would from, your diet and keeping yourself healthy. And in addition to that, planetary health, right? So the sustainability side of what we do is hugely important. It's one of the core, drivers of what we do. So the fact that it's in glass bottles, which all come with 90% of the collection comes with refill options. So you're saving so many plastic bottles that you would, get from a typical cleaning product. So we really want to, that's how we want people to see it. We want people to see it as not just a, cleaning product, but really an ally in helping people live healthier, living better, and really eliminating single-use plastic in every room of the house.
Very sustainable and
absolutely
from start to
yeah.
finish, and that's the whole kind of ethos of the brand.
100%.
So moving back to kind of last year, I read something that your husband put up, and you guys were, maybe if you explain, you guys were going to get married, and then you decided that you couldn't travel, and you couldn't have the wedding you wanted, so you invested in this business instead. That's an incredible story.
Yeah, so that's, I guess, sort of what I was saying earlier, is we had a COVID wedding situation where we were, you know, one of the casualties of the year. So that obviously didn't happen. And it just timing wise, you know, everything sort of happened and came together at the right time in terms of when we met, obviously that happening and then us finding ourselves in a position to, you know, to invest and to partner with Ruby on this wonderful brand. So yeah, that's
it's really a positive story out of the pandemic in terms of, like, it's very hard to find a business partner. It's very hard to kind of say who shares ideas, who has shared views, and how you kind of do business together and things like that. So how did that sort of carry out? Like, what happened? We're a year on now. What's happened since?
I think it kind of just happened at the right moment because we were working on the incubator project with Spinneys, and at some point we ended up...
This is Spinneys incubator product for specific startups, or how does that work?
Actually, it was they launched that during the COVID to help small businesses to grow and stay alive with the whole situation. And actually, yes, we passed all the round. And at that point, I was still doing the soap in my house. And it was just not possible, like, on a production point of view, but on all the marketing strategy, finance, everything, I wasn't able, like, to cover everything. And I think there's something more, how can I say, sometimes my English, sorry, I'm searching for my word, but there's something more, more fun to have, like, partner instead of having just employee, because you share the same passion, actually, and we are, like, on very different field, so we very, like,
complementary skill sets.
Complement each other, so
I
think
it works in
just,
that way.
It was just a easier,
and it was actually speaking of, you know, the timing and speaking of that, the Spinneys incubator, which was a really amazing initiative. Actually, it was really great. It was a great initiative to support local business, so, and at the end, it was about 22 local brands that basically got accelerated to Spinneys shelves, of which The Botanist was lucky enough to be selected as one of the finalists. So that happened just as we sort of, you know, formalized, let's do this together as a team. And I don't really think we realized all of what that entailed in terms of scaling and what actually needed to happen for us to go, you know, from Ruby's Kitchen, selling here and there and doing a few online sales to making it to the shelves and from, you know, from paperwork and licenses changing and getting a manufacturing facility, which we now have. And we've been in for a couple of months in DIP1 to obviously production wise scaling from X amount to up here to meet the orders. So I think we were, you know, kind of went into it very, very excitedly and then soon realized that, oh my goodness, we have so much to do. And it was our, you know, we were kind of chugging along doing what we needed to be done. And then at some point realized, okay, we might not actually meet this deadline. So let's just chat to Spinneys, who have been super supportive throughout this whole process. They've been an amazing partner. And
Which part of it is hard for people who don't understand? Is it because the distribution contract is so big, or is it because there's extra things that's needed in terms of, you know, quality of projects, checks and things like that?
Everything. Honestly, it was from getting a different type of business license to getting a, you know, a finding first of all a warehouse, and then moving into the warehouse to use as a manufacturing facility, to production, obviously scaling up from a small amount to relatively small amount to what was obviously much, much, much higher. Operational side of things, just everything. So it was, you know, it was a lot of scrambling, I would say.
Time was very short as well, because from the moment Spinneys, like, say you're in, we had like about like
a few weeks, wasn't it?
So imagine everything done. So like ordering, like all the raw material that we need, importing.
Yeah, we didn't even have enough of the raw material. So we went to
And the logistics around COVID of imports and exports were slower as well. There was a lot of delays.
Yes, it was a lot.
there was a lot of learnings in the first few weeks. Yeah. We were like, right, here's what we're not going to do again.
It's great you're laughing about it because it feels as if it's the hard bit's over.
Yeah, but it was interesting dynamics, isn't it? Because we just started working together, professionally. It's not like we knew each other super well before that, so there was quite a lot of elements that were brand new to both of us, so we were just kind of navigating our way through the whole thing. But then at some point we because basically what happened is basically everything went wrong, right, as it does at these early stages of getting a business off the ground. And one of the major things that happened was the labeling machine that we were waiting to arrive just didn't arrive. So prior to that we were manually labeling everything. Okay. And which is obviously not practical for a large amount of bottles.
But there's a hand touch, so it's...
Yeah, exactly. Handmade to the end. So we just said, look, let's go to Spinneys and let's just ask them for a bit of an extension in all of our naivety of, not really knowing how this game works. And they, not because they were being unkind, but because it simply couldn't be moved, they told us it's just not possible. We have a launch, you guys are... I don't know if you guys have seen, and maybe we can show this while we're talking about it, but we had a really nice gondola at the end of the aisle, so that was all in place.
Yeah.
And they couldn't move it, right? So now knowing this, we absolutely had to make this deadline. So we literally got people to come in and manually label
overnight.
Hundreds overnight. We were there until the early hours, and we got it at the door, didn't we?
Yes.
And they were really accommodating, actually, in sort of reducing the initial numbers, but. Yeah, also these sorts of things just have been amazing learnings and things that we know what not to do going forward. But
it's a really good story, and it's a good story from a Spinneys point of view as well, to support local businesses and to pick businesses that are here. And it's just part of this kind of Dubai sort of ecosystem as a business capital with homegrown talent. But can I ask you a question? In the importance of a distribution partner in this day and age, how important is it to be in the bricks and mortar store when we see so many people sort of e-commerce is on the rise, drop shipping companies we hear about? How important is it, and how important has it been to your kind of bottom line in the last year?
Well, I mean, I think part of it is category dependent, right? I mean, that you could make a case for being, pure e-com business and really focusing on that, which very much works for some brands. We think it's important to also be in places where people still shop, obviously. I mean, it's the kind of product that you do pick up on your weekly shop. So we want to make it easy for people to actually, make the switch to a better cleaning product.
Yeah.
And we do have quite a heavy focus on direct sales through our website and e-commerce. Through those, we mostly focus on the starter packs, which is really a one-stop shop for changing all of your home cleaning products to a toxin-free and sustainable range. Whereas in the supermarket, there might be someone picking up one or two products, and it's maybe like a easier, smaller purchase. But we definitely want to do a combination of both, because it's important for us, I think, to be in places where people are as well.
Absolutely.
For, especially in the category that we're in, we are the kind of product that you pick up in your weekly shop.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I mean, we try and do as many physical events as we can as well with the time that we have. So we've been doing Right Market on the weekends. That's super important, I think, at this stage as well, to be in front of people, to be engaging with them, to get that direct feedback, and as a local brand especially. Yeah. So for us, both is very important.
Sounds wise, just more work, just more things
more
to do.
More work, for sure. But obviously, also, when you have an opportunity like Spinneys come along, we're not gonna say no thanks, we're gonna do e-com.
Yeah. And is it that they're helping you have the store space? Are they actually kind of providing, what sort of support do they provide as well? Do they provide funds? Do they provide mentorship? Do they provide marketing?
Yeah, they've as a whole, the program does so it essentially eliminates the listing fees that you would usually pay to get on the shelf in the first place.
How competitive is that? Is it expensive or is it competitive? In your category? Yeah, to get on the shelves.
I mean, generally speaking, it's expensive to get on supermarket shelves, okay. Especially at the stage of the business that we were at, right? So to get the opportunity to get on the shelves as part of that program is just incredible. So there's that, which is you know, financially it's amazing. Then there is mentorship. There's, like I said, they've been super supportive. So they've been, you know, guiding us through various stages of the process as well. So there's quite a few elements in there. Yeah. And, you know, we do have some upcoming...
As mentioned at the start of this episode, Dubai Works is powered by Zbuni. Method by Kat is a unique form of exercise designed to sculpt, tone, and transform any body type. It combines all aspects of training and movements and is suited to every fitness level and age group. Method pivoted to online workouts during the pandemic, and thanks to the help of Zbuni, the leading app for digital payments, the fitness platform continues to run successfully on Zoom.
Plans with them that we hope to sort of expand on what we've done so far and make the product even more accessible and build on what we've started. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, well done on that. Sounds like an ordeal.
Yeah, no, it's been an incredible start.
10 years in one, maybe. In terms of achievement, amazing.
Yeah.
Can I just go back to the kind of thesis for the company and where did the name The Buttonist come from?
Actually, it was before, because I was like playing with plants and essential oil, herb, flower and everything that...
Yes. It made sense.
Yes.
And talking about, you know, plant-based products and even in regards to distribution, you know, Simone, you mentioned that people are on their weekly shops and now they are looking for organic products and plant-based products more and more. We've just, I personally just completed a month of plant-based eating for veganery and just so more, people are so more consciously aware of it. How do you see that opportunity? Like, how do you see the sort of plant-based craze that we're experiencing at the moment?
At first, when I start doing that kind of soap, I think it's because I'm really old school. It has nothing to do like with the trends or anything. Really more about my personality, and I have to admit that I think I come from a really like hippie family. And I know, like, even as a kid, my mom was really into like everything plant-based, and if I look at my cousin that has a big blog in the USA about like plant-based product, she has like an organic farm and she's growing her own like vegetables and everything. So I grew up in that kind of environment. So for me, it's not like a trend. It's not anything new. It's really something that I grew with. So
it was natural for you. You weren't sort of trying to see a gap in the market or trying to catch the latest trend.
No, it's really like, it was something like normal for me. And as I live in France for many years, it was some product that I was using back then. So I just wanted to come back to my roots
And it's and to add to that and to your point, it's really, there's nothing sort of, you know, on trend about the essence of the product. It's actually going back to sort of the roots of soap making. Castile soap, for those that don't know, is basically, it's an ancient way of making soap, which is a vegetable oil base, a reaction with distilled water, cooked in a certain way, and then it creates soap. So it's actually just going back to basics in a way, right? So there's nothing sort of...
As opposed to how are the kind of more commercial soaps made?
Well,
actually it's more a blend either of synthetic compound or chemical compound, which is even worse. So now it's, because it's a much faster production method and less costly method as well, because it's just like chemical that you blend for 20 minutes and then you can pour in the bottle and your production is done. Castile soap, it's very traditional, so you need to cook the soap for a long hour until you get the reaction, you get the good texture of your soap, and then after you need to dilute the soap to make it liquid and everything. So it's a very long process at the end, but I think it's kind of rewarding as well, because it's more like, for me, it's a more normal process.
And more fulfilling. And in terms of, you know, a lot of people talk about a vegan lifestyle in terms of plant-based everything and things like that. And it naturally kind of allows for people to have plant-based food, but also plant-based cleaning products and more aware of that in the home. Are they your customers? Are your customers people who eat plant-based food, or is it a mix?
No, and this is the thing with the plant-based, you know, craze. I think plant-based movement is super positive, and yeah. I think there's so much more awareness of it now, and I think that's got massive health benefits, obviously massive environmental benefits. But we almost want to not, you know, stick so much with the plant-based thing, because the product is natural, it's toxin-free. It happens to be plant-based because that's how the soap is made. But it's not for, you know, vegans necessarily, although it is vegan. It's for anyone that wants to reduce toxins in their life, that wants to clean with a natural product, that wants to be sustainable and reduce single-use plastics in their everyday life. You know, I think sometimes that category is a bit neglected with, I certainly, before I started using the products, I didn't think too much about it, if that makes sense. It was just like, I buy this, I buy that. I bought the eco stuff, obviously, but it was still in plastic, still actually you don't really get a full ingredients list, so it was difficult to really know what's in there. And in certain categories, it's really easy to greenwash with the plant-based label, because just because that's there doesn't actually mean it's natural. The way that it's made and manufactured can sometimes mean that it's not that good for you. Mm. So it's for everyone. It's anyone that wants to, you know, clean better, be more sustainable in their everyday life, and care for their health and their home.
Yeah, and the environment. Yeah. In terms of the bigger companies and the bigger brands and your competitors, how are they adapting to changing consumer trends? Are they the consumer packaged goods? Do they have a competitor to the botanists, to your products?
Well, I mean, I think there's obviously international eco sort of green cleaning brands available here. So they would be, you know, obviously they would be our nearest competitors. They're quite different from the offering that we have in that, you know, our packaging is in glass, first of all. Mm. What's inside our bottle literally has three or four ingredients, so it's completely natural. We are obviously locally based, so we have a platform to I mean, obviously we have ambitions to take that into other markets, but for now we're just local, and we have a platform to really take things even further from a sustainability perspective and really drive behavior change. So one of the things that we are really focusing on is refills, right? So refills we already have, and they've been there since the start. Basically they're available on the website, and they come in a 1 liter, which is concentrate, so much, much lower waste than you would find on the shelf with our competitors. But what we've done, and what we're continuing to do, is pop-up refill stations, so someone can bring the bottle, reuse it. We've been doing those at Right Market, and we plan on continuing that, and establishing permanent refill stations as well with some of our retail partners. So, you know, we're in a position to really... to really help people, you know, drive, make it easier for them to live more sustainable, make it easier for them to refill. Mm. And I mean, we rethink the product as it stands is just a healthier, more sustainable alternative. So
interesting. Yeah. I'm going to ask a question around different home care products, but just specifically on the cleanliness aspect and the pandemic. Did you see an uplift? We were speaking a few weeks ago to the founder of Glamazelle, and most of her product lines as an e-commerce was makeup and color cosmetics, a new term I learned. And that was about 80 or 90% of their product pre-pandemic of their sales. And then after, it was all to do with cleaning products, all to do with soap and facials and all that, all different products like that. Did you see that? Did you see people wanting to sanitize more? Did you see that sort of uptick?
Actually, what I noticed the most is, of course, people were at home, so they get more sensible about what they use. Especially in Dubai, it's super easy because my nanny, my home helper, will clean and she can choose whatever product she likes, and that's it. But now that people were more at home, they were more sensible about what they use exactly in their home when they are physically there. And same as the kids were at home as well, most of the mom, I think, get more sensible about what is used around their kids, because most of the cleaning products, you say, okay, change the room while mommy is cleaning. and you shoo your kids away, which is not normal at the end, because it shouldn't, you shouldn't feel like triggered by the cleaning product that you use. It should be like something to help your house to be clean and healthy. So
So that's just more important, I think.
I think there's, like you said, there's obviously such an increased focus on cleaning. Obviously, we're spending so much more time at home. But to your point, I think it's really made people think about, what am I using to clean my home actually, and can I find something better? And that's a great thing, because it's, I think it's drawn people's attention to the fact that you know, there's also a difference between cleaning and disinfecting. For example, you don't. I think the notion, or the belief, that you always need the really harsh cleaners to clean the houses, people are realizing that that's not necessarily the case. There's a place for them once in a while if there's something really that you need to disinfect. But for day-to-day cleaning, soap-based cleaners do just as good a job as breaking down bacteria and viruses. And this is something that there's actually been a lot more content on, I mean, for everything, obviously, in the last year, but even for cleaning content, you know, there's, so there's people
more awareness and
education, more awareness and education about what's okay to use, what's effective. So, which is a great thing.
Yeah. And how do you plan your product lines? I just read recently that a kind of a organic home company in the US, is it the White Company, that they're listing on the stock market, and they started out with, I think, one product, and then whatever their customers said, they kept on making more products on the like you mentioned, some other, on being a home care brand. So they might make bedspreads, they might make things, they might make cleaning products and things like that. Is that how you view it? Is that your range can be very wide?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that, as I said, we want to be a home care brand. We don't just want to, you know, pigeonhole ourselves in the home cleaning category. But one thing we do very well is listen to our customer base. It's really interesting, because the brand already has so many advocates.
Yeah.
And they're really vocal, and we love engaging with them, and whether that's on social media or, you know, at places like the Right Market or anywhere. And we listen to our customers on to things like surveys, which we do regularly, to just engaging with them on, you know, having a chat on social, which, you know, at this stage of a business you can do as well.
Yeah.
You know, through things like talking to them. So we're already getting a trend in terms of requests for the type of products people would like to see next. So this is the kind of stuff that we go, okay, that's actually going more into this category, which is interesting, because it's deviating away from the home cleaning, but it's going more into, again, home care, which is very much aligned to what we want to do. So listening is certainly a key one.
Yeah. So would you be making the buttonless furniture, for example?
No.
Okay, there's a line.
But we do have some accessories.
Yeah.
Like some little brushes and
cleaning
cloth and things like that.
But so it's like, whoa. We just got in Spinnies.
No, but obviously things that make sense for the brand. But again, it's within the home care, even, you know, eventually personal care is you know, to your point earlier about competitors, I really don't think, even if we look on a global stage, I really don't think there's a product like this in this category. It's it's like a beauty product for the home, you know, and it really is different. So I think it lends itself to various directions, obviously within the core of what we want to do, and always within rooted in sustainability and driving that forward, because that's the core of the brand.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The Honest Company, I got it wrong.
Yeah.
But and then, you know, talking about this region, like, are you optimistic about the region as an emerging market? Like, how do you view the region? Or, you know, are you one of these companies who kind of says, UAE is amazing, we've got a lot to achieve here, let's focus on here and then let's see what happens?
We certainly see a lot of potential in the region, definitely. We're already seeing requests from other regional markets, which we definitely want to tap into. So we certainly want to service that first, but we also want to explore other markets for sure. So we're a homegrown brand. We want to make sure that here we establish things really well here and do, you know, the best that we can. We'll then look a bit further afield within the region, and then yeah. world domination next. Who knows? Who knows what
happens. Yeah, so a lot of people, when they're talking about building companies in Dubai, they often import goods and things like that. And you mentioned earlier that manufacturing the goods here is something that you have to do as part of the business. Are the products 100% manufactured here? How do you go about that?
Actually, yes, the products are 100% manufactured here, but yes, of course, we have to import all the raw material because we don't find it here. One thing that we try to do as much as we can is source in the nearby countries as much as we can. Like, for example, like the coconut oil is from Sri Lanka, some of the essential oil are from India. We try to, when possible, to stay like as close as we can to minimize the
carbon emissions, yeah,
and exactly. everything.
But yeah. So there are some raw materials that, for your specific products that aren't available or produced in the UAE.
Mm.
But if they were, you're looking at that sort of having the raw materials and the manufacturing here.
Yeah. So just to add to that, I guess I mean manufacturing will always remain here as long as we operate in the UAE. So that's obviously not going to change. But the reality is that some raw materials are not made here, so we do have to bring them in. But as you said, the majority of them are from as close as possible. And through our, you know, we try and minimize our footprint through other practices, from our production process to, you know, the refills that we offer through other elements of our manufacturing. And
so that's amazing. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, a lot of people listening to Dubai Works have heard some stories of, building materials companies and others who, in the 90s set up here and proved the common perception that UAE can't be a manufacturing hub on the same price point and the same quality as other regions. And it's great to hear a startup that's, you know, not importing from other regions and manufacturing here. However, how do you go about manufacturing? Ruby, are you still hand making all the soap, mm-hmm. or do you have a team, or how do you kind of scale that?
Right now, we have one employee that helps us with the bottling all the soap and everything. Because at the end, it's very a physical job. Like, because it can be like quite heavy, like the jar like that we use like to pour the soap in the bottle. We don't have like, it's not like all fully like automated or anything. So even like for cooking the soap is the old-fashioned way and everything. So it's still like very a manual process. But yes, now we have employees.
It's labor intensive, so to make all the products
very
requires,
artisanal as well. Yeah, it's very manual.
Yeah.
Okay.
But obviously, so we're good for now up until a certain level of production, obviously. But as things hopefully continue to grow and scale, then we would obviously need to look at ways that we automate some of those processes and just increase production. And But I think we're good for another wee while.
You're good
in the
for
current
now.
Facility that we are.
And if you had more demands from spinners, or if you want other contracts, then you'd obviously have to kind of increase the production.
Of course, yeah. So, I mean, we increase production as based on our forecast and based on what's needed. So, but in the facility that we are, we're able to increase it by a significant amount more before we would need to look further.
Yeah.
So we're good for now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And in terms of investment appetite, is this something that you take to investors? We hear a lot about people being environmentally aware with their investment decisions now in startups and things like that. Is that what you're seeing in this region? Are people looking out for these types of companies and to support them and to get involved at an early stage?
I wouldn't say we've had any personal experience with that. I mean, we're trying to build the company together with the capital investment that we do have.
Yeah, and try and make it profitable and reinvest in the business.
Exactly. So that's our current approach. But the wider state of affairs from that, I'm not sure. I don't have any personal experience with that. But who knows what will happen down the line. But for now, we're trying to make it work with what we've got.
Okay, amazing. And you have a beautiful website. How people can, if people aren't in spinnies or if they're still staying at home, and how do they get in touch? And what would you kind of recommend if they haven't invested in home care and they haven't bought a kind of a product like this? Do you have a kind of a starter pack, or do you have one product that you recommend for them to try?
We do have two different starter packs. We have a big one with six products inside that include a wood duster and a wood wax for people who have a lot of wooden furniture at home.
Mm.
And we have the smaller version that is more like about just a multi-purpose kitchen, bathroom and floor.
Okay.
For people that doesn't have that much wood at home, obviously. And
And what sort of price points are those items? And how long would they last?
Actually, they...
depends on how much you clean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, depends on how much you clean, but the products are very effective, I would say. So you don't need to put that much on the surface to clean it. So just like one or two mist and it's fine to clean. So yeah, the product, they last for a...
Yeah, very long. I mean, again, it depends how often you clean, but what we're generally seeing is at least 3 months if someone gets the large starter pack.
Mm.
And then if you get the small one, 2 to 3 months that will last. Okay. So that's the smaller one's at 175, the larger one's 160, about 262. But
it's not that expensive for 3 months of cleaning.
Plus they come in, and plus they come in these storage, beautiful wooden storage boxes. And then we've got refills as well. And obviously the refills come in at a slightly lower price point in a concentrated format. So that, you know, delivered straight to your door.
Wow.
We're working on revamping our refills program actually, which will be launched hopefully in the next few weeks. Mm. But that's, again, taking steps to make it even more eco-friendly and even easier for people to refill. So both from the online order standpoint, so we're looking at doing a bottle collection program where if someone opts in to deliver to receive a refill every 2 months or so, we would collect your old bottles, give you the new ones, we reuse them. So trying to make it even more sustainable. And then we've got some other options for retail as well. But
And make people's lives easier.
Exactly, because that's the thing. There's often such a consumer intent and consumer action sometimes has that when it comes to sustainability in particular, there's often a bit of a gap there, right?
Yeah.
So we really want to try and make it as easy as possible for people to live more sustainably, to reduce plastic. So we bring it straight to your door. You can opt in to get a soon, not quite yet, but you can opt in to get a recurring delivery if you want. We will help you recycle and reuse those bottles. So we're doing a lot of the work now to try and enable that, as well as doing more, pop-up refill stations, other refill stations. So, just helping, trying to make it easier for people because it is sometimes a bit of too much to think about reducing here and reducing there. So,
Very good. Well, Simona, Ruby, thank you so much for telling us the story of the Buttonist. It's amazing, and it's great to introduce it to people who haven't tried it before. I'll definitely be checking it out, and we'd love to follow your journey in the future.
We've got some here for you.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
The show was powered by Zbuni. Once again, a big thank you to Zbuni, who helped us bring this episode to you for free. Thank you to the show producer, Yana Kalashnikova, and editor, Ali Baba. Check out our other shows on Smashy TV, and subscribe to Smashy to get more business news. See you next time on Dubai Works.